Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Keeping an eye on the weather for you today and dipping into some of our regular features like the Week in Health. This week sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, and back with us again after a couple of weeks, Dr. Santino Wheat, Program Director McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back with us here again. Lots of health subjects to talk about. I wanted to focus on one that was headline news for several days, and that is the subject of GLP-1 drugs. These are your Ozempics, your Wegovys, in the news now because the president is announcing some deals to lower the cost. That's going to go through a whole political thing, which I do not want to get into. But I do want to talk about the GLP-1 drugs in general. More and more people are using them. Are they for everyone, I guess, is my first question.
I think that's a great question. And I'm not sure that we totally know that yet. Every day I feel like there's a new study that's coming out about another condition that these GLP-1 medications are able to help with. And all of the data has been really exciting and a great way to combat obesity. I think the people who these are really for are the people, though, that are struggling with obesity. And so it's not necessarily that I'm trying to lose 5 pounds, but for someone who has obesity and is worried about the chronic health conditions that comes along with it, they can be a great option.
So you're saying that we're learning more and more how they can help you in different ways. In which ways can they help you? I mean, I think we sort of discovered the weight loss benefit, but they were originally intended as diabetes medication. Am I right?
That is absolutely correct. So, yeah, so we started with these medications, and we've had this class of medications for a long time. They are not new, even though they feel new. For diabetes, and then we saw that weight loss benefit. We've seen benefits to cardiac health, so in helping prevent things like heart attacks. We've seen benefits in some of them to sleep apnea, so making sure that people are sleeping well and not being woken up in the middle of the night, not being able to breathe. And I feel we've seen some changes and improvement in liver health, and I just anticipate that we will see even more.
It just seems like a magic pill. I mean, it's an injection, but it seems like, you know, a magic thing that everybody wants to take advantage of right now, because it's a whole lot easier than exercise or watching what you eat, I guess, right?
Well, I think that's a great point. That's what it seems like when you see the ads, but it's not that simple. When someone is using a GLP-1, and there are some available that are in pills too, not just injections, it is a tool. It is not a magic. It's not magic. And so it still has to be done with thinking about strength exercises to make sure that you're not losing too much protein, to being thoughtful about your diet, to make sure you're bringing more protein in your diet. And still, you can out-eat just about anything. So it does still require that you're being thoughtful and committed to a journey of taking care of your health.
Yeah. What about side effects? I've heard and read so many stories about the downsides of them that we don't hear about that much. What are they?
Yeah, so the biggest one that we think about is pancreatitis is one that can really cause problems. And so when you have pancreatitis, there's an inflammation of your pancreas. There can be vomiting, fevers, and not being able to eat. There's also risks of some cancers that people have. Not that this is causing cancer, but that if you are at risk for some cancers, it potentially puts you at higher risk. And then there's the side effects from how the medication works. It slows down your digestion usually, and so that can cause some nausea, it can cause some vomiting, it can cause some stomach upset. So those are all real side effects that many people experience. And then you can lose weight in ways that maybe you weren't anticipating. So you might actually lose some muscle mass if you're not being thoughtful about the strength training that you're doing and the protein that you're getting in.
Yeah, you say it slows down digestion. All I can think of, Sorry, this is an insensitive kind of subject. I hope no one's eating breakfast, but you know, it's constipating. Correct?
It can be, absolutely, and I think of it more with my patients on the other side, that their stomach just feels full all the time, so they feel more of the heartburn and like they're gonna have nausea or vomit. But yes, it can be constipating too, because everything slows down.
Yeah, because if again, you know, whatever happens to the pricing issue that's going to be going on, you know, if it becomes more affordable, everyone, you know, people are going to want to be popping them like M&Ms. And that's not safe, right? What do? You start, obviously, with a conversation with your doctor, I guess.
Absolutely. We are happy to have these conversations. And we will talk about, okay, what is the entire strategy? That this can't just be the medication on its own. I'm talking about good nutrition to go along with it. To make sure that you're eating the right things while you're using this as a tool. And yes, even if the medication becomes less expensive than what it is, and there are some options right now where you can get it directly from the companies that do make it less expensive than the big ticket price, it still is not perfect for everyone. It will still cause side effects for some people. And so it's important to have a shared conversation with your physician.
I will continue our conversation with our physician, Dr. Santina Wheat, after a break. If you've got questions, comments, you can call or text 312-981-7200. The Week in Health, Dr. Santina Wheat. And oh, by the way, we'll be updating not only all the latest news, but give you the very latest on this pretty major winter storm that's headed into the Chicago area. It's coming up in about 7-8 minutes. Dave Schwann and our Northwestern Medicine newsroom. In the meantime, though, Dr. Santina Wheat on the line with us taking questions. So, you know, we talk about outbreaks from time to time, things going on that people should know about. Apparently, there is a rise right now in hand, foot, and mouth disease. And I don't even think I know what that is, Dr. Wheat.
Yeah, this is actually something that has been in my daughter's school even this week. It is a virus, and we usually think of it in little children. We usually think of it like in daycare. It usually impacts the little ones because it is spread so much with things like diaper changing and just coughing and sneezing and all of the typical ways that colds are spread. And that's how it starts. It starts as like a cold, like with a runny nose, maybe a fever. And then there are sores that develop, sometimes on the hands and the bottoms of the feet, which is where you get the name, and then also inside the mouth. And the mouth lesions can be so bad that it makes it difficult to swallow or want to eat or to drink, and that's usually where we run into problems with kiddos. And even though we think of it as a little kid disease, we can see it, though less often, in older kids like my daughter, who's 10, and in adults. And it can hit us pretty bad, too, if we get it.
Is it contagious?
It is extremely contagious. And one of the hardest parts about it is that you generally don't have symptoms until about 3 or so days after you were exposed. So you might still be sharing those germs around. It will spread through households. It can spread through schools. It really can leave everybody feeling kind of miserable.
Yeah, it sounds like it. What is the best way, since there is an outbreak of it right now, what's the best way to protect yourself and or your kids and grandkids from this?
So I would say all of the things that you normally do for good infection prevention, making sure you're always washing your hands, making sure that you're cleaning down surfaces in your home or where you're working or in the schools. And then also making sure that if you're sick, you're staying home so that we aren't sharing it. And then considering wearing a mask if you have a runny nose or if you're sneezing or something, so that we're not spreading this. But really just trying to keep your hands washed and just sort of pay attention to those that are around you.
Yeah, it's not contagious via touching a hand, foot, or mouth, as the name of the disease might imply.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, yes. No more often the droplets in the air.
Okay. All right. A text from the 847 area code. Dr. Wheat, I'm on Wegovy. I want a 40-pound weight loss. After 12 weeks, I'm averaging a pound a week on a 1,375-calorie Mediterranean diet. Is this what you would expect?
Wow, everybody is a little bit different, and so it is hard to say. We do sometimes see more rapid weight loss, and so there could be some other factors there, like wondering if that is the right medication for you. There are other GLP-1s, so sometimes we find that somebody doesn't do well with one medication, and then we switch them to another. But there's also multiple doses of the medication. So we can see that somebody doesn't lose a lot when they start the medication, and then they increase, and then they have a little bit of a more rapid weight loss.
They increase dosage, and then, you mean, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then also just making sure you're also getting plenty of protein and doing strength training to help support it all as well.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, if also you're, you know, on a 1,300 calorie diet, you probably have got to be seeing some results with that. So that's good. All right. Very good. Well, Dr. Wheat, I don't know if you heard that I had foot surgery in the last couple of weeks. I had cellulitis in the heel, heel of my foot. And a lot of people have been texting and emailing and asking. Everything's going well. I'm walking without a walker, without a cane. I'm able to put weight back on it again. But I feel like I need to bring you up to date since you're the show's official physician here. you should know. Is that common? They still don't know how my heel got infected in the first place. And they said it could have been something completely microscopic, but it was severe enough, and believe me, it was severely painful, that they had to go in and cut it out and clean it out.
Wow, I'm so sorry that you went through that. I don't know that I would say that it's super common. It is fairly common in my office that I will see people coming in with cellulitis. It usually does have to do with something else that started there first, like maybe they had a cut or even a surgery, or they had some sort of bug bite or some sort of injury that was there first before it spread is usually what I see. And then most often it's with other things in your health, like somebody who has diabetes, for example, might be more likely to have cellulitis or have other diseases that makes their immune system a little bit less strong.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the road to recovery. I'll be doing my tap dance routine in no time at all. So
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Delner Hospital. Have a great week. Stay safe in the snow today.
Thank you, you too. Take care.